If you would please take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the book of James. James chapter 1. I want to consider a few truths about this gift. You do realize that the reality we belong to is designed by Almighty God. And that elements of our reality, things that we take for granted, are designed the way that they are by God and His wisdom. And so I think it would do us well to just stop and consider some of the things that we have, some of the relationships that we have that are designed that way by God as a gift. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither of shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with a word of truth." The greatest gift that He could give us is our salvation. And He did so with His word, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. You know, we have all kind of holidays in the United States. Some that are celebrated, some that are ridiculous. If you ever want to have some fun, just look up online to see what holiday is being celebrated on any given day of the year, and you will find something that someone somewhere is turning into a holiday. Some of them are ludicrous. But this morning, we celebrate a special day for a very special person, our mom, our mother, and if you're married, your wife and mother for your children. Our mothers are some of the most important people in our lives, hardest workers, and yet often underappreciated or taken for granted. I think of all God's creations, moms have a special place in the creation of your life, the formation of your personality, even if it's twisted, okay? The fostering of who you became or will become as a Christian, and the Scripture has much to say about the greatness of your mother's role in your life and how we ought to respond to that. I think we ought to examine it as a gift from God in all of its facets, thank God for it, and then honor our mother. By the end of the sermon, I pray that you'll thank God for His gift of His mother in your life and the other mothers. You say, what do I mean by that, Pastor? Well, I'm going to take a minute as we're studying this to look at those who have that maternal role, though they may not be your birth mother. I want you to notice, first of all, that from the beginning, mothers have had a special place in creation. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Now, this is immediately after the fall, after God pronouncing His judgment on them because of them disobeying Him, talking about sin coming into the world with its ramifications. He will greatly increase the sorrow and the conception. Women will give birth to more children now, but those children will have to deal with a sin-cursed world and will one day die. They will have sin nature, and so mom will not be giving birth to perfect little ones, even though every mom thinks their kids are perfect. Those little ones go astray even from the womb, the Bible says. And yet, look at what the Bible says. Adam called his wife's name Eve. From the end of chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 3, verse 20, Eve did not have a name. She was called woman. But he calls her Eve now because she was the mother of all living. God created life, but Eve had the privilege of giving birth to the beginning of the human race from Adam and Eve. I'd say you ought to thank your mother for your existence, for allowing you, bringing you into this world. And you know, It's interesting because in our age, we talk about equal opportunity. Oh, all people are equal and equal this and equal that, equal ability. The truth is, only women can give birth to babies, okay? And there's only two genders, all right? I know that's not popular. God gave the privilege of conception and birth to women. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground, a farmer and a sheep herder. Your mother is to thank for your existence. I thank God for every day of life that he's given to me, lets me wake up, gives me breath, the many blessings he's given to me. But my mom is the one who brought me into this world by God. But you know what? Because of sin, childbirth and motherhood is painful. It's fraught with difficulty. The problems that accompany childbirth and motherhood are a result of the fallen world. Look at chapter 3, verse 16. You're right there in Genesis. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. So if raising children is difficult, friend, that's because of sin. It brings sorrow. Every mom knows the sorrow. He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Before the fall, Eve still could have had children. By the way, you have to, in order for you to be, multiply something, it has to be there to start with, okay? So conception was possible, but now because of death, he said, I will multiply thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Bearing children, raising children has sorrow and difficulty. Those wonderful, cute little bundles of joy are sinners. They are. I have four of them. Somebody here has five. You say, Pastor, I know yours are sinners. All right, now. The psalmist says, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He says in another psalm, The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, people are sinners. Even babies are sinners. Now, they're innocent, but they still do wrong. In fact, the terrible twos, as we like to say, that's just the child test fitting their personality as a sinner. Okay, they're learning, hey, I have my own will. Hey, I don't have to do what I'm told to do. I'll go do this. Break. You know, create chaos. Your mother is thankful for your is to be thanked for your existence. Because of childbirth, there is some problems there, but there's still a ray of light bringing a token of grace. I think of what John 16 says, A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour has come. Childbirth is not easy. For many women, it's the hardest task they've come to up at that time because it's just unrelenting. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. All four of my children, regard of the struggle of childbirth, regardless of the pain, as soon as they're born, the sorrow, the pain, the anxiety, it fades into the background as you glory that you brought a new life into the world. And every child is a life. Unborn, they're a life, and a human, and after they're born, they're a life. Amen. Every child is a gift from God made in the image of God. Amen. And you know, our mothers are to thank for their existence. They're a gift from God. And mothers have a special relationship with children. I know with my first three, I kind of envied that. And I still kind of do. The relationship is truly a gift. You know, mothering can be wearisome and difficult. There's struggles. But ladies, you've been given a gift that nobody else has. And apart from God, your mother is the first to know you as an individual. In Jeremiah, the Bible says, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. But guess what? Once you were formed in the belly, your mother began to know you. Children, even in the womb, respond. They respond to sounds. They respond to heat, to cold, to light, to dark, to music. Jeremiah responded to preaching. He would kick Jennifer whenever I'd make a good point. No, I'm just kidding. They respond to coffee, you know, all kinds of things. And the mother understands that. They begin to have this relationship with the child, and women will speak to their baby in the womb. And after birth, the mother is the most important relationship in the life. Dad, you may love your kids, and they might learn to love you, but from the beginning, they love mom, and that just continues. In my house, mom is the most popular person, you know, even today. Mothers hold a special place in creation. And I thank the Lord for the mothers we have here. And he's given mothers a special place in shaping the lives of the children. Take your Bible and turn over to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Look at verse 6. You knew we were going to get here eventually, but here we are. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Pastor, what about the parents who have done their best and their children are not doing right? Well, friend, you do realize that Adam and Eve had the best parent, and they were trained, and they still had a free will. Training does not remove free will. But I will tell you this, if you don't train your children, they will go the way of the world. The only way to give them a fighting chance and to guide them in this wicked world is to train them. Okay? This is a proverb. It's a general truth given from Scripture, wisdom that if you apply will produce a result by and large. And you are the largest influence in shaping your children, moms. By the way, even if your children have moved away, you're still a large influence in their life. Many times you don't feel like you are, but you are. I cannot emphasize the importance enough of that. Now, dads are told to have an influence. We're going to preach on that tonight. The Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Dads, we don't get a pass. We don't just get to delegate the child rearing. Okay? Mom and dad are what's required for a good home. Now, that's not always the case. That's not always the ideal situation. Sometimes you have broken homes, and one parent has to do the best that they can. But God's design from the beginning is a father and a mother serving God together and raising children. And yet, the majority of the time, who's going to be spending the time with the children? It's going to be the mother. In those little formative years when that child cannot even speak and they're learning about this grand world, it is you, mother, who had an impact on them, rocking them to sleep, kissing owies, up with them when they're sick, reading to them, tucking them into bed. You don't know how important that is. You know, my kids are all tucking them into bed. No, I don't want daddy. I want mommy. Evidently, she's so much better at it. But you know what? There's that relationship. And think about this. You form their worldview. The society that this world will inherit is largely dependent on the influence of our mothers, or the lack of influence. It is up to you to form their likes and their dislikes. Up to you to form their attitude toward other people and toward marriage and toward men and toward God. Mother, that is your responsibility, not the school, not the world, not the news media. It's you. Your sense of humor, your taste in food, your preference for scent, for style, for clothing, the kind of women your sons will marry, the kind of woman your daughter will become. You have that responsibility. You train them with your words. Train up a child in the way they should go. How? Well, by what you say, not just to them, but around them. Children listen to what you say, but they also watch what you say much more. Your reactions to other people, your attitudes. Oh, I see attitudes many times around children. I hear parents say words around their children, and they think it doesn't matter because the children don't know. And listen, those children are listening. Amen. And they will respond the same way later. Your spirituality, how you talk to God or about God, it is up to you. And I think a part of that privilege is spiritual influence, just piggybacking on that. Take your Bible and turn over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel Prayers for your children are heard by God. I know that God hears my prayers, but I know that he hears my wife's prayers. They get answered. The Lord hears the prayers of a mother. Not just when that child is young. And we see it modeled here in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah here was praying. Look at verse 27. She says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah prayed for her son and for his future, and her faithful prayers were heard by God. Her spiritual influence continued even after he left the home. What about those that have left the home, Pastor? Continue to pray. Continue to influence. Text message. Message them on Facebook. Send them notes. Pay them visits. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. Hannah did this even after she sent him away to work with the priest. It says, "Samuel ministering before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." Visiting him, providing for him, praying for him, she still had an influence. God hears those prayers. And may I say this, ladies? Maybe you have a child that has moved away from home. Maybe you have a child that you feel like the connection is not as close. When you talk to God, you're talking to somebody who can make a difference. The Lord cares, as hard as this is to fathom, the Lord cares how your children turn out more than you do. Amen. And when you go to the Lord about your children, he listens. He listens. He'll answer those prayers. In what way? Well, I don't know, but we can trust God. And teaching your children will be rewarded, teaching them the Word of God. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul here speaking to this young pastor, he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother," that's a mother. Your grandmother is a mother, okay? "First in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded in thee also." Scripture doesn't say much about Timothy's father. We know he was a Gentile, but he really wasn't kind of part of the picture. And you say, well, he was disadvantaged. Well, maybe so. But his mother taught him. He chose to do what was right. Paul the Apostle was kind of a mentor in his life as a father. And the Scripture mentions the influence that his mother and his grandmother had in his life. Turn over to chapter 3, verse 15. Preached on this last Sunday night. It says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How did he know it from a child? Well, because his mother and grandmother taught him the Word of God. The Scripture indicates that Paul brought Timothy to the Lord, but it was his mother and grandmother who prepared his heart for salvation. You know, I accepted Christ as a young child. In Sunday school, or no, children's church, there was a sweet grandmother, retired missionary, who was teaching the Word of God faithfully. And I came home and my mom led me to the Lord. Praise God for that. Not just teaching, not just praying, but modeling that right relationship with God. Can I tell you, if your children are going to learn a healthy view of biblical femininity, they're going to learn it from you, Mom, first. They might have to relearn it later. The way a lady should act, the way a mother is supposed to behave, the kind of woman to look for one day, they'll do so at home. Your role is vital. If you had a mother who worked for you, who prayed for you, who praised God around you, then thank her for that. And I would say, women, your consistent love and training is key to your child's future. It is key. Teaching good manners. Yes, don't ever give up. Training to clean their room. Oh my goodness, that's a battle in our house. Teaching good hygiene, all right? Teaching conflict resolution. We have a whole slew of adults who need safe spaces because they don't know good conflict resolution, because some mommies didn't teach them how to just put up with difficult people. You know, they need a bubble wrapped world. Teaching your children nurturing and loving care. Mothers, that is your role that God has given you. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Regardless of how many times you have to admonish, correct, remind, adjust, discipline, and fix their mistakes, you're very important. So many rebellious teenagers and children, I know some, who even going through difficult times, like the prodigal son. I've known some prodigals. And you know what it was that came back to them when they hit their low, the bottom of the well? It was what their mom had taught them. Now, dads, I'd like to think that it's what, you know, the influence we have. And our children want to please us. They want to impress us. But a mother's love touches. And it's the Word of God that you've taught them. If you've ever taught the Word of God to your children, if you've spoken the Word of God to your children, take this promise to heart. The Scripture says in Isaiah 55, "My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that whithereto I send it." God will use His Word. Your role in the family, in the church, in society, in the world is crucial. Why do you think it is that the devil is attacking the relationship between mother and child today? It's because it's so crucial. And I would say, thirdly, not only should we thank the Lord for the mothers in our life, that they have a critical place in creation, in the role of our own lives, but God holds us accountable for how we treat the mothers in our lives. I take this beyond those of you that are mothers, or if you have a mother that's still living, if there's mothers in your life, I'm bringing this up because twofold. Sometimes we find ourselves in other than traditional relationships. What do you mean? Well, there are those of you who are mothers. You've given birth to your own children. You raised them. Praise God for that. Amen. There are those of you who have a mother in your life that raised you and cared for you. And if she's still alive, thank her for that. Okay, she might be in heaven. She might not be with us longer today. There are some of you who you can think of women who have had a maternal role in your life of mentoring. Maybe an adoptive mother caring for you, imparting values, taking responsibility for your life and your well-being. They ought to be honored as well. Being used to shape your life. You have to tell them thank you. Some of you have never had the privilege of having your own children, but you know what? You have filled that role in other children. We need to honor you. Some of you today, the one who mothered you didn't give birth to you, but God in His grace knew what He was doing and brought together a relationship that filled that need that you had. Today is the day to honor them. I think of my own wife and a relationship in her life that the Lord brought a preacher's wife in and was a very, very real sense, a mother figure to her. And if that's been a part of your life, this is the day to honor that. And by the way, God expects you to honor your mother. It's a commandment. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. There is a commandment for children to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'm not a child anymore. However, I do have my parents, father and mother. And the Scripture says beyond children, all of us are to honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. When do you stop honoring your parents? Never. It is a continual commandment as long as you're alive. To honor is to place value in. To honor is to treat that person as a valuable person. Your mother should be one of the most important people in your life. Aside from God, and if you're married, your wife or your husband. By the way, there's a consequence if you don't do that. This commandment to honor your mother has a consequence. Really? Yeah. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 19. I want you to see this. Psalms and then Proverbs. Proverbs 19, verse 26, it says, "He that wasteth his father," that is to just throw away all that has been invested in you, "and chaseth away his mother." We've seen that happen before. Hopefully that you know, your mind doesn't go back to something in your life where you have done that. Maybe it does, and you need to apologize today. Maybe after the service today, you realize, even as an adult, that you have chased away your mother, and you need to go leave this service and get on the phone and call mom and apologize. Say, "Mom, I am sorry that I treated you that way." Chances are she's already forgiven you, because moms do that, okay? That still needs to take place. "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." If you make a habit of telling your mother to go away, ignoring her advice, you will one day regret it and be ashamed of your behavior and reputation. All too often, that shame comes when it's too late, after the person has left this world and we have this bad feelings. Oh, you know, and at their funeral, we cry more than we should because we didn't take advantage of making reconciliation while they were still here. And so, friend, I want to say to you, if that has happened and you have the opportunity, if they are still living, then reach out. Continue to reach out. Now, you may not have a good relationship and it's not your fault, but never stop loving them. Never stop loving them. Mothers are not perfect. Nobody said they were. But they're as close as you can get many times. Even adults. Proverbs 23. Look at Proverbs 23, 22. "What about when my mother starts to get old? When she starts to," which for my mom, that's years away. Then, you know, it's, you know, she's sitting right here, so I got to say that, you know. It says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." You know, sometimes in our society, people are living longer, and families have the opportunity to either care for or neglect their seniors. I said, we don't do a very good job of caring for our seniors and for our family. Many times. It's hard. I understand it's hard. But many times we don't do a very good job of it. And you know what? Sometimes when the mom that took care of you when you were a mess, sometimes they struggle. We want to distance ourselves. We don't want to take care of them. They begin to act in ways that embarrass us. Well, guess what? You did your share of embarrassing. All right, I guarantee it. Probably still do. But then when mom begins to act that way, we get embarrassed. We don't treat our mothers or grandmothers with grace. We treat them like with less honor than we should. When does that commandment of honor, when is the expiration date on that? When can we stop honoring? No. You know what, we really need to take this to heart. And this strikes to my heart as I see the way that some of our seniors are treated sometimes as they begin to lose their faculty, begin to lose some of their memory, they struggle with dementia and they struggle with physical problems and they're not treated with dignity and with grace. And it's hard, I understand, but we need to be more like Christ. Not despising when they're old. God expects that. And I do believe that God gives us a measure of grace, finally. The relationship between mother and child is somewhat less than desirable, sometimes because of sin. We're sinners. We live in a sin-cursed world. And the relationship is not always as it ought to be, always as it could be, because children are sinners and parents are sinners. And maybe you're sitting here today and you have bitterness in your heart towards your mother because of failed expectations, because of a behavior that she had that maybe she didn't measure up. Moms are not perfect. But you know what? The Bible calls us to forgive. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I certainly didn't deserve his forgiveness. Be kind to your mother, tender-hearted, forgiving. Reach out to her. And moms, you know what? You're not perfect. And you're not going to be perfect. And there's this model you see projected many times. You might see it on social media. Maybe it's not about you being a lousy mother. Maybe it's just about you being human and having to accept that. It's difficult to admit that you're human sometimes. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay. Your mistakes are under the blood. Confess them and God forgives them. Move on in the grace of God. Following the word of God. Trusting in the power of God. Don't hold your house to other people's standards. They don't live there. Don't hold your children to other people's standards. You raise them according to the word of God. It's between you and the Lord. You're not perfect, but you're the best mother they have. And love them in the Lord. You know, children are not perfect as well. God understands this better than any of us. But you share a special connection with your mom. So in whatever capacity, if your mother is alive still today, reach out to her. If there's a mother in your life that has had a mentoring role, let her know that you appreciate her. And you know what? Maybe, mom, you're sitting here today and you realize that you can do better. You can do better in maybe an area, maybe God's pointed out a specific area. You say, you know what? I need God's help as I train my children. Commit to do that. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're plagued with grief or with guilt because of opportunities that have passed, things that you cannot get back. Can I tell you, you cannot reclaim the past. You can't. Confess it to the Lord. And then pray for your children. God can reach their hearts. He can make a difference. Have you thanked God for His grace in your life today? For the gift of life? You know, I have some mothers in my life that I'm thankful for. For my wife, first of all. For my mom, for my sister. Grandmothers that God has placed into my life. My grandmother is in heaven, but there are others who treat me like their grandson sometimes. I just love them for that. I really do. We thank the Lord for the relationships we have. And I tell you what, the Lord wants that to be closer. He wants His relationship with you to be closer today. Maybe God's speaking to you and He's drawing you. I love the song that was sung by Mrs. Cooper. That we learn about God's love. I forget the exact wording. I'm probably going to butcher it as I give my pastor paraphrase version. But we learn about the love of God through that mother's love. The tenderness, the patience. God is patient towards you today, friend. He loves you. But just like a mother, He calls you to do right. I hope you know the Lord today. If you don't, today is the day you can accept Him. And maybe you're far from the Lord today or in an area where you need to come back to Him. Today's the day. Let's seize the day, friend. Let the mothers in your life know that they're special. Let your wife know that she's special. Your grandmother, is she still living? Let's thank the Lord for His blessing, the gift of mothers. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for this day. I pray that You would help us. Help us, God, to lay it to heart, this gift of the relationship that we have. Lord, I pray that You would help the mothers here and even grandmothers and those in a mentoring role to recognize the critical role that they have in their family, in this church, in society. Lord, it might be that one, You've spoken to their heart about an issue that they need to commit to. Maybe You've spoken to someone here today, Lord, who is not right with their mother and they need to take that step of reconciliation. Maybe, dear Lord, there is one here who is not right with You. I pray, God, that we would take care of those things that You've laid on our hearts. This time of invitation would be a time of dedication to You. In Your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? As the piano plays, do business with God.